some of its bars due to nut allergies. The company is recalling its Clif Builders Chocolate Mint Bar and two children's flavors, Clif Kid Z-Bar Protein Chocolate Mint and Chocolate Chip. Company officials say they decided to pull the bars after getting what they call a small number of customer complaints claiming peanut or tree nut allergic reactions. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, otherwise known as Mr. Relentless. To be relentless requires constant energy. That's why I take NAD Plus Cell Regenerator from Life Extension. As we age, our cellular metabolism declines. But you can fight back with NAD Plus. NAD Plus provides advanced support for cellular health. It revitalizes your cellular energy. Now you can get NAD Plus at half off. That's 50% off retail price only for my listeners. Call toll-free 855-870-6622, 855-870-6622. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Comic book geeks around the world in mourning today as the wife of one of their most beloved comic creators has passed away.
A family spokesman told The Hollywood Reporter that Joan Lee passed away yesterday morning in Los Angeles at the age of 93. Stan and Joan Lee had been married since 1947. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby co-created the Fantastic Four in 1961, followed by the Hulk, Iron Man, X-Men, and many others that turned Marvel into a pop culture phenomenon. Lee credited Joan with inspiring him early on when he was considering quitting the comics business.
A major drug sweep in Mississippi netting hundreds of arrests.
Many of the cases involve prescription painkillers. And State Bureau of Narcotics Director John Dowdy says this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Most of these people were low-level to middle-level dealers. And what we're hoping through this investigation is to work back up to sources of supply so that we can try to stop the drugs coming into this particular part of the state.
So far, about 50 arrests have been made in Lawrence, Lincoln, Pike, Jefferson Davis, Walthall, and Copiah counties. It follows an investigation that began about a year and a half ago. Randy Bell in Jackson.
A man is in custody after he tried to get into Trump Tower in New York City with weapons and a bulletproof vest. Adamines Benitez claimed he was a senator and that he was there to see the president's daughter, Ivanka. Police say the 52-year-old Bronx man was carrying two throwing knives and a sock that was filled with heavy metal. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
back on trial for sexual assault in Pennsylvania. The proceedings will begin in Norristown, PA, on the 6th of November. He's
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, well, we're back, and I think we had some problems with our, the news, and I think there may have been some dead time. So let me tell you again, my name is Pat Smith. I am an attorney here in Hunterdon County, and quickly run through the weather. There's a chance of heavy rain tonight, 50% chance at least, showers, thunderstorms, basically before 10 p.m., and then again a chance of showers. But tomorrow there's a 30% chance of showers before 11, and then a slight chance of showers after that. And actually early in the morning there's a chance of thunderstorms. But Sunday looks beautiful, sunny, 83 degrees, mostly clear on Sunday night. And into Monday, mostly sunny, and then there's a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Same thing on Tuesday. Well, I'm sorry if we did miss, I don't know what was happening there, but I know there were some problems with our equipment. So I'm Pat Smith, the program It's the Law. And, of course, once again, I did want to tell you about the backup on Route 78 West. Anybody going on 78 West, you can expect backup closer to Phillipsburg than Clinton. And the reason is there was a tractor trailer this morning, fairly bad accident. Tractor trailer went off the road into a gully, and everything was held up for hours. And there are probably still some vehicles there. And if not, it will clear up, but there was probably about at least a five-mile backup at one point, almost all the way back to Clinton. And again, it's just slow going through that area, and then, of course, a lot of gawkers, and so that makes it even slower. But don't worry, you'll get to Phillipsburg eventually. So what's happening in the law? Well, I guess if anybody had their head in a bushel basket, under a bushel basket this week, they may not have heard. But once again, the New Jersey is in the national news again, and not for good things. I mean, unfortunately, those of you who, like me, have not grown up in New Jersey probably were surprised at all of the bad stuff that we hear about New Jersey around the country. But anyway, the difficulty now is, of course, the state was shut down. The parks, including our own Round Valley Reservoir, and of course both of the reservoirs were closed. And they were closed early Saturday morning, July 1st. And of course, the people coming out to enjoy the day were turned away, as well as anybody trying to use the boat ramp. They were not allowing anybody even to use the boat ramp, even though that's not, you don't have to pay to get into that part of the reservoir. So I'm sure there were many very disappointed people. This was news around the country. In fact, I was not in New Jersey over the weekend, and like everyone else, national news was broadcasting the pictures of our governor on the beach at, I'm not sure if it was Island Beach State Park, but certainly it was one of the parks that was closed to the public, and he was there with his family and some friends. Not a good picture of what's happening in New Jersey, and of course then he had to go on television and make some comments about, apparently he thought that was justified as long as he wasn't there with a 25-year-old blonde. Did not go over well around the country, believe me. And terribly unfortunate, because many people plan their 4th of July to have picnics at Round Valley Reservoir or at Spruce Run or certainly down at the beach, and really probably caused significant, you don't know what that caused in the way of people not spending money, people then spending some money in Hunterdon County or along the shore. And it really has a terrible image. It gives our state a terrible image, much more than one would think. And of course, then Monday was very disrupted. And it's still disrupted because, for example, those of us who were supposed to be in court today, many of these things were adjourned because people were not able to file papers on Monday. And so it really is very disruptive. It was certainly disruptive of state workers and state emergency workers, and people didn't know whether or not they had to go into work, whether or not whether they'd have to go in because of emergencies, and who knows what's going to happen with their pay, or even with people who had taken off on Monday, whether or not they were going to get paid for vacation day. So these things really should not happen. And but it was, not only total disruption and not people not knowing, gives New Jersey, once again, gives New Jersey a bad name, kind of like Bridgegate. People are still talking about Bridgegate around the country. And now the fact that the governor and his family and friends were sitting on the beach when the ordinary public were banned from the beach really was, I think, unfortunate. And why people couldn't use the reservoir for boating, who knows. But anyway, that's my rant for today. Doesn't reflect what the station thinks or the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, but I do know that it reflects a lot of what people think, and no reason why they had to have these last-minute budget fights and not have enough money to keep things open for a few days. I know it's the end of the fiscal year, And, of course, the other thing that people were talking about is how the governor was trying to blame one of the Democrats and saying that this Democrat caused all of this, which, you know, at least the Democrat, whoever he was, and I don't know who it was, one of the state senators, was not lolling on the beach with his family. In any event, what else is happening in New Jersey? Well, there is some good news. There have been a number of nominations for judicial openings, and including, I mentioned a couple of them last week, that were coming to our vicinage. And actually, if all of the potential judges are approved, our vicinage here is Hunterdon, Somerset, and Warren. And why that's important, it's Warren County, of course, Hunterdon County and Somerset County. Why that's important is that judges get switched around. Any of you who knew Ann Bartlett, who was a judge who lived in Hunterdon County, she spent a number of years while she was a judge in Warren County and in Somerset County. So that's not at all unusual. But the nominations, and I'm not sure whether these judges have been approved this week, but John P. McDonald of Wachung was nominated, and he's from Somerset County, of course. And there is Carolyn A. Murray from Chatham, which would be Morris County. And I believe that part of Chatham should be Morris County. That's not here, but the other appointments here, or nominations, I should say, were John Burke III of Annandale, who would be a Hunterdon County appointment, and Richard Hertzberg of Warren Township, which, of course, is Somerset, and Patricia Carney of Basking Ridge, also Somerset. And I will say they do a good job vetting the judges. Pat Carney worked for me as an associate many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and I was contacted by the state police when they were doing the investigation. So the process of vetting judges is an excellent one here. If you've ever heard me, you know why I believe that our system is the best. It's not that someone doesn't have to be active in politics prior to being appointed, because most of the attorneys who are appointed, in fact, have been involved, or perhaps family members have been involved, or, in other words, they have some connection that they're able to get the appointment. An attorney must be a licensed member of the bar for a minimum of 10 years before the appointment, and the appointments are either by county or there are statewide appointments. Of course, the fact that someone is appointed in a county doesn't necessarily mean that they will sit in that county. In fact, our most recent appointment, Bob Ballard, is sitting in Somerset County. Hak-Yong Sa, also a Hunterdon County appointment, has been sitting in Somerset County. In fact, I think Bob was appointed quite shortly after she was. She's been sitting in family in Hunterdon County, in Somerset County, and she will be sitting in family in Warren County beginning in September. And my understanding is that Judge Ballard, who actually when he was appointed to sit in criminal, which was an excellent idea because, in fact, he has done criminal for basically his entire career, has been prosecutor in many municipalities. So he's very well respected in that area of law. Of course, he's now being transferred to civil. The new appointments, we don't know where they will be sitting once the nominations are confirmed, but at least we will have more judges, and really that is so important. We do not have enough judges. Everything gets backlogged, and it just creates problems. So I'm pleased to see that we have the the appointments, and there were a number of other appointments to other counties, you know, including Ocean County, including Haddonfield, I believe, is in Camden, Galloway, and is down south somewhere. I think there was a Union County. There was an administrative law judge appointed from Westfield, which is Union County. And so that, you know, that's really the only way that things are going to run smoothly in the courts is if we get not only more judges but more staff. So what else is happening? Well, as far as the legislature, there were some bills passed by both houses and sent to the governor. I'm not going to talk about all of them, but there are some that should be of interest to certain people. There's an open space trust that's A-1645, another bill, A-2060, on short sale to establish the process. The A-2926 student loan bill with respect to student loans, which would be of interest to some people. There are a number of other things that may or may not, and other bills that may or may not be of interest. But there are three changes. This was actually passed by both houses. A-4580 is a farmland preservation purposes appropriation grants, and then A-4581, again, farmland preservation, dealing with that issue. And then A-4584, again, a farmland preservation incentive grant. So these are all have been passed by both houses, sent to the governor for his either signature or veto. So I think that the good news this week is that we have more new judges appointed or will be appointed and will be sitting. They should all be sitting by September, and that will really help out. And, of course, the bad news is, you know, once again, New Jersey is in the national news, not for something positive but for something negative. And the positive thing, as I said, is our judges here are appointed. So they go through a screening process. They go through the Bar Association vetting process. And they really have, you know, they are appointments either Democrat or Republican. However, once they get on the bench, they cannot be active in politics. So that we generally, in general, we have an excellent judiciary. Not that they're all stars, but unfortunately one of our real stars, Judge Jones, who was on the trial level judge in family, wrote a lot of opinions, was just really productive, and very, you know, made excellent decisions, excellent opinions, and he decided to not seek reappointment and is back among the bench. I'm sure he'll have a lot of work from other attorneys referring work to him, as well as arbitration and mediation, as well as being a discovery master. But that was truly unfortunate that he decided not to continue. I can't imagine that anyone would have opposed him, although he wasn't in this area and I've never appeared before him. So what else is happening? Well, there was a federal judge says a suit against debt-collecting attorney over bar codes may proceed, and the U.S. Supreme Court's holding, this is in 2016, Spokio versus Robbins, that a technical violation of a statute is insufficient to establish Article III standing, does not preclude a suit over a potential disclosure of information by bar codes on debt collection letters. And this is a federal judge ruled this in Newark. So this case can proceed. And talking about proceeding, I'm just going to play a couple spots and then get back with the rest of the program.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off a Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, we're back. It's The Law. I'm Pat Smits, and just bringing you some of the information of what's happening in the legal news in New Jersey. So the there's another, I think this was certainly justified, but two Colts-Neck brothers have been sentenced to 6.5-year prison terms for operating an insurance fraud ring. And the reason that this was an insurance fraud ring is they paid runners to recruit car crash victims as patients for chiropractic facilities that they owned and operated. So they owned and operated chiropractic facilities, and what they did is they hired runners to contact car crash victims to have them start using these facilities. And it was an insurance fraud ring because the idea was that they were, charging the insurance companies and obviously charging for patients who really didn't need the services, and certainly the scheme of getting a runner to send somebody to a certain doctor, a certain chiropractor, certain physical therapist, that is against the law. So they, in fact, have a fairly significant sentence for something like that. I guess the little guy should be happy. Must have been a very, very large case, but a jury awarded $180,000. Now, that did include punitive damages to a former law associate, meaning a lawyer who worked for another firm, and he had claimed that the firm failed to pay him origination fees promised in his employment agreement. So the way that this works, and it's not unusual, that some small firms will hire associates at fairly minimum wages and then agree to give them a percentage of any of the work that they generate. And this would have been obvious to me, at least, that this would have been a contingency fee case. The firm was paid, and then they didn't pay the associate what they had agreed to pay him or her. So that's that $180,000. Obviously, there was a big settlement in that case. So that there's a Third Circuit authorized punitive damages against a Pennsylvania county over an ex-offender database. Well, this is the class suing Bucks County over its searchable database of former inmates won't be able to recover compensatory damages, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't be able to seek punitive damages, a federal court ruled. And this is in a case that appeared to address an issue of first impression in that circuit. So that they're anybody interested should go ahead and, of course, take a look at that. There was a approved for publication, the Appellate Division. This is a case against Wolf Block, a law firm. And the plaintiff in this case is a Chapter 11 debtor in possession. And it appealed from a dismissal of its malpractice action against the defendant, Wolf Block, which is a dissolved law firm. And the plaintiff, headquartered in Florida, hired a partner at Wolf Block to provide legal representation in the purchase and development of property in West Virginia. And then following the closing, the plaintiff discovered title defects rendering the property unsuitable for development. And the plaintiff later sued for relief in the bankruptcy court. And, well, why would that happen? Well, it happened because Wolf Block was in bankruptcy, so that was where they would have to sue. And Wolf Block is a dissolved Pennsylvania LLP, maintained two New Jersey offices. And after the defendant's partners, meaning the partners at Wolf Block, voted to dissolve the partnership, they seized all activities and closed its offices, including the New Jersey offices. So Wolf Block moved to dismiss the complaint for lack of personal jurisdiction. And the plaintiffs opposed the motion, asserting at the time of the alleged negligent conduct, many of the law firm partners resided in New Jersey. And the plaintiff also alleged specific instances of transacted business between the parties in New Jersey. And Wolf Block responded by producing documents showing that its work on plaintiff's matter did not occur in its New Jersey offices. So that was the crux of this, is whether or not they could sue in New Jersey and what the nexus between New Jersey was. Obviously, the plaintiffs wanted to sue in New Jersey. So the trial court in this case concluded that the plaintiff failed to the trial court concluded that the plaintiff failed to establish a basis for personal jurisdiction and dismissed the complaint. So that the trial court said there was no personal jurisdiction. And on appeal, the plaintiff argued that a corporate entity's registration and acceptance of service of process in a state constitutes consent to submit to the general jurisdiction of the state's courts. So that was their saying that, wait a minute, if you accept process in a state, then you're accepting the jurisdiction. So that Wolf Block argued that the new U.S., not new, but the U.S. Supreme Court, in its ruling in another case, set forth the minimum requirements for general jurisdiction to focus on an entity's affiliation with a state. And it has to include such as its state incorporation or evidence of continuous course of business. And therefore, the court ruled that the defendant's contacts asserted by the plaintiff might have been sufficient to establish specific jurisdiction, but were not enough to support general jurisdiction. And the court held that the defendant did not have a systematic presence in New Jersey when the plaintiff filed its action, and it was already in the process of dissolving. So this very limited circumstances, but in this case, the plaintiffs were not able to prosecute or go after the law firm that obviously by this time had already been dissolved. And, you know, cases when bankruptcy is involved, it's very tricky. In state court, for example, even in family, if someone files a bankruptcy during the middle of a divorce case, everything other than support is stayed unless the bankruptcy court authorizes one of the litigants to proceed in state court. So, as I said, the that malpractice suit against Wolf Block was not able to go forward. However, the New Jersey Appeals Court has partly reinstated a products liability claim against BMW of America by a vehicle owner, and the vehicle owner alleged that he burned his leg on an exhaust pipe that extended beyond the rear of the bumper. So that that case was not published. Just trying to check that. No, I don't think it was. So the, of course, the New Jersey courts reopened. They were largely shuttered on Monday because of the state legislature's failure to enact a budget until the early morning hours of July 4th holiday. And so the courts were opened on Wednesday, as were other state agencies. However, that created problems because they weren't open on Monday, so the people who ordinarily would have to file papers on Monday weren't able to do it, and of course Tuesday was a holiday, so it's really backed up things more than one would expect. So now the one of the questions that people often ask me, and I don't do jury trials. I thought I was going to have a jury trial at one time many years ago, and I was really pleased. It was not a family matter because family cases do not have jury trials. But in any event, we had an offer of such a great settlement that I couldn't proceed. There are many trial attorneys. There are many excellent trial attorneys. In family cases, we try cases, but it's just before the judge and not a jury. But when there is a jury, the jury is really the finder of fact. In a family law case, the judge has to be both the finder of fact and facts, and then the conclusions of law. In any event, the what happens in a jury trial is throughout the trial, the court provides instructions to the jury. And usually at the onset of a trial, the court instructs the jury on a number of things. For example, whether taking notes is permitted. They also instruct the jury that researching the parties or the lawyers on the internet is not permitted, and that jurors cannot discuss the matter with their spouses and friends, and that also the judge talks about the court schedule, and finds out if there's anyone who has conflicts, obviously, or can't serve for some reason. I think this is very important because there's an ethical question. So the years of discussion among Pennsylvania lawyers and several bar association opinions on the issue, the ethical implications of online legal services providers such as Avvo and Rocket Lawyers and LegalZoom remain unclear in the state. I think there's really questions because, as I understand the way these companies work, is that for a subscription, someone can call and allegedly speak with a lawyer and obtain legal advice. Quite obvious to me, you don't know the lawyer, you don't know the lawyer's training, and may not even know where that lawyer is licensed. And because it's so important to have a lawyer licensed in the state that you're dealing in, this is really critical. In fact, I think it's critical to have the lawyer know the area of law that you're dealing in. I happen to have a case right now where the lawyer is not a family lawyer. So there are times when this lawyer makes certain assumptions that are just wrong because it's not the law. And not that there's a lot in family law that's black and white, but there are certain things. And a lawyer really needs to know the basics. But it would never be proper for me to advise someone about, for example, New York law or Pennsylvania law, because I'm not licensed in either of those states. Now, in my own case, I was licensed in Florida, but I didn't keep up really with the law in Florida. So early on, I did a state work in Florida, because there are so many people in New Jersey who die in Florida, and so they have, it's back, it's New Jersey and Florida, or vice versa. So I did handle cases in Florida. I did keep up with the state law and was able to do that, and it was a very, what should I say, very paper-oriented laws, and frankly, I was able to charge clients much less than if they tried to hire attorneys down in Florida for estate work. But in any event, I did know enough at that point to be able to handle that type of case. But otherwise, it would certainly, if somebody calls from out of state, I would never try to give advice with respect to law in another state. And one of the things that we've done is, for example, for military, people in the military, we've established attorneys around the country who can provide legal advice with respect to state-specific questions. And I'm certainly part of that group, and very interesting questions sometimes come up, but they have to do with state law and family law. So what else is, I think this is a real problem with people who are getting advice from places like LegalZoom. And the other thing that is so important and why people do it, I don't know. And this is not a commercial for me because I do not handle estate planning. I will do some work for my own clients only because they won't go and get a will otherwise. But it is really important in New Jersey to have someone who knows New Jersey law handle your will. It is a very foolish thing to go online and to try to fill out some forms. And yes, it may save some money up front, but believe me, it can create real nightmares. And so I've always, you know, said this to people. And, you know, I guess sometimes people think, oh, well, you're just trying to support lawyers. But no, really what I'm trying to do is make sure that someone if they do a will, that it will be a will that will be in effect and be probated, because if it's not done correctly, it will not be probated, and then the people will have to go through a much more difficult situation. And it's always, and I am reminded again yesterday and today, how important it is not to sign any kind of a binding agreement without an attorney at least looking at it. And believe me, folks, it's not that difficult, it's not that costly, and you can save yourself huge headaches. Specifically, yesterday I looked at a document that the person totally misunderstood what the rights would be, obligations would be under the terms of that, and frankly, it was one of the worst agreements I'd seen. But this person was, in fact, had signed it and was about ready to testify in court. And finally, people told this person, you have to see an attorney. And as I said, it was just unconscionable. It was that bad. The agreement was unconscionable based on the circumstances. So it is important. And if you have any friends out there and you hear that they're going to do something significant without having an attorney look over the contract or the marital settlement agreement or, you know, anything. I know now that a lot of the title companies are handling real estate closings. Frankly, even though I'm an attorney, I would still have an attorney handle my real estate closing. Even though we have, at least here in Hunterdon, we have some really excellent title companies. And, for example, my friend Rich Reynolds at Cortez and Hay and other people there, but I especially like Rich because I can call him and he'll give me information just to make sure that I know what I'm talking about, even though I don't handle real estate matters. So let me play a couple more commercials or spots from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to finish the program.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Well, we're back, and I want to welcome a new sponsor, Regional Personnel in Lebanon. And I'm sure that we'll use their phone number again. And, you know, anyone looking for personnel should think about giving them a call. So welcome. I didn't see that I had Pambies today. I certainly hope that that's one of the spots because that's probably... I guess I shouldn't say, but, you know, my favorite sponsor, at least the one that I go to most often, because Pambies has great ice cream, and maybe we'll be playing that spot next hour. But certainly anybody who has not tried Pambies for ice cream, I'm going to give them a spot, even though they're not on my list. Pambies Ice Cream, they're between... Molasses Hill Road and Payne Road on 31, the southbound lane. And I can't remember, there was a little, not even a diner, a little, not a restaurant diner, just this little, what I would call hole in the wall, really nice guys who used to run it as a, used to run it as a lunch place. But in any event, it's now Pambies and they have great ice cream. So in any event, if they're no longer a sponsor, they're going to get my vote anyway. And back to the legal news, I'm Pat Smits. And so what else is happening? Well, I think New Jersey will certainly find a way to regulate everything. And if you don't think so, the Senate in voting session on June 30th couldn't pass a budget. But they certainly could give final legislative approval to a bill that would regulate daily fantasy sports betting. Now, we know this is a multi-million dollar a year industry, but it's really gone largely unregulated nationwide. But guess what? Nothing goes unregulated forever, and this is certainly the case. I'm not sure about what the legislation, the breadth of the legislation, and I'm not sure that the governor has signed this, but there is, it's a pending bill. And also there was a federal appeals court has upheld the dismissal of a prospective class action lawsuit alleging workers' exposure to toxic chemicals at a vinyl pipe and gutter manufacturer. So apparently this was a class action, and the Federal Appeals Court, and that was the Third Circuit, so of course that's our circuit. I don't know anything more about it than that. So actually, AT&T faces a lawsuit for age bias, accused in an age discrimination suit of targeting older workers for dismissal, allegedly as part of an AT&T program to increase its employees' technology skills, a program that plaintiffs said was infused with age-based stereotyping. So this... this will be an interesting lawsuit. I think there is a general concern about bias against older workers and age discrimination. And now it looks like AT&T, at least the workers, feel that they're being dismissed and targeted for dismissal because of the program to increase employees' technology skills. And if, in fact, that it was age-based stereotyping, just as any racial stereotyping is absolutely improper. So that, I'm not going to even go there. So that in New Jersey for years, lawyers have structured corporate transactions around the assumption that valuable insurance assets were freely assignable without the consent of insurance companies. And that proved true in most jurisdictions, and the New Jersey applied that majority rule allowing free assignability of insurance. Now, however, what you have to be careful about is check deadlines provided by the IRS. The Third Circuit affirmed the tax court, which ruled that certain Internal Revenue Code precluded relief under a section, because a section, and this may be important for somebody, probably not, but who knows, but section 6015 paren E and paren 1 and paren A and paren provides the deadline for filing tax court petitions seeking innocent spouse relief, which deprives the tax court of jurisdiction over the case. So that is important. Innocent spouse is a protection for someone who really didn't know about and didn't benefit from the spouse, their spouse's fraud. Very difficult to prove, and generally the problem revolves around the fact that the innocent spouse derived benefit from the underreporting or fraudulent reporting. And so you can't, even though maybe an example would be, for example, a spouse, let's say wife, who for a number of years signs tax returns showing that her husband earns his income is $30,000 a year, when in fact they live in a $2 million house and take lavish vacations and save, more than $30,000 or $40,000 a year on top of their spending. So the problem that she would face if she says, well, I didn't know that he was defrauding the government, I didn't know he was underreporting income, et cetera, the government would say, in that type of case, well, you should have known because, in fact, you benefited from it, so therefore you're not an innocent spouse. And talking about time has just gotten away from me, so I'm going to say this is the end of the program, and we'll be back after the break with the sports guys.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The president opened the meeting with President Putin by raising the concerns of the American people regarding Russian interference in the 2016 election.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who sat in on the meeting today between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin.
The two leaders agreed that this is a substantial hindrance in the ability of us to move the Russian-U.S. relationship forward, and agreed to exchange further work regarding commitments of non-interference.
The suspect in a standoff at a bank near Atlanta is dead. There's no confirmation if he took